Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here today to discuss a Vogue idea.
But hold on. Two things. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Sean at San Bricado Salon. I had said in last week's episode I need to get my hair done, and I got my hair done. And I met Sean, who's a fan of the podcast.
Oh,
and,
all right.
I just want to say hi, and thanks for listening. Also, I mentioned two episodes ago, the whole time, and you're like, no, that's not it. And then someone was like, Elise, that's Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, which I knew that was Mrs. Doubtfire, but I thought you were specifically trying to quote Sex and the City, because that is what we were talking about.
Yeah, no, I was trying to quote Sex and the City, but my brain doesn't work. Okay. So I ended up quoting Mrs. Doubtfire because they're very similar.
So many similar themes.
Yeah, so that's all I have this time.
All right. Well, this episode originally aired February 3rd, 2002, written by Alan Heinberg. This is his last episode with us. He's going to go on to, we've talked about him a bunch of times, he's going to go on to write Wonder Woman, amongst other things. Directed by Martha Coolidge, this and the next episodes are the only ones that she's going to direct. She has a very long career. So she directed a movie called Real Genius.
Oh.
That I was a little bit obsessed with when I was younger. Yeah, it was Val Kilmer. It was about lasers. I don't know. I haven't seen it in forever, but it was a favorite of mine when I was a kid. She also directed the movie version of Lost in Yonkers, which nobody really saw, but Mercedes Rule is in it, and she's amazing in it.
I just saw Mercedes Rule with you in Torch Song.
Yes, she's incredible. She's a great actress. So, DVD recap. How much does a father figure figure? As Carrie journeys into a new world at Vogue, she wonders if a less-than-perfect relationship with her own father means a life of less-than-perfect relationships. Meanwhile, Samantha fulfills Richard's birthday wish, Charlotte, always wanting one of her own, hosts Miranda's baby shower, and Miranda wonders what type of parent she will be.
At some point, George Michael, are we just going to put that song in here, or no?
Oh, no.
All right.
But clever. So every morning,
millions of New Yorkers leave their crowded apartments and head out to the even more crowded streets on their way to work. Today, I was one of them.
Basically, Carrie has a new job and it's at Vogue.
Yeah, and she has a new haircut.
She does. I...
Which I also have this haircut.
Yeah, but I not only had this haircut, I had this coloring scheme at one point. No, it wasn't great.
Do you have pictures?
There was one picture that existed, and I believe I've destroyed every copy.
Yeah, I didn't even know that Carrie gets this haircut. And then yesterday when I was getting my haircut, Penelope said, what are we going to do? And I said, just chop it off. And I got this haircut. So I am Carrie now.
Sure.
With Miranda color.
Right. There you go. Yeah, it's very chopped. And then it has, like, you know, the blonde in the front that... This was, I mean, a lot of people did this coloring at the time. It definitely set a bit of a trend. So we meet two characters. We meet Enid Mead, played by Candace Bergen.
Candy!
Yeah.
We're just going to glaze over Candy B. We're not going to be like Murphy Brown.
Yeah, no, that's what she's most famous
for.
She's done a ton of things.
I know,
but... yeah, Murphy Brown is what she's most famous for. And then Ron Rifkin playing Julian Fisher. He also has like 120-something credits on IMDb. The connection here is that he and SJP were in an off-Broadway play called The Substance of Fire that was also then turned into a film that I have not seen.
Wow.
But I would like to see it at some point. It's on my list. But yeah, so that's sort of their connection there.
I'm saying wow that Mike hasn't seen a movie.
Yeah, I remember, I don't think anyone saw this movie, to be clear. But I remember the trailer for it. Like, I remember it coming out. But yeah, I don't think it really caught on.
You've said that about two things so far, that you don't think anyone has seen them. You're being a real hater today.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, and so they refer to Vogue as the Mecca. And they're looking over her article that she wrote.
Yeah, and Enid did not like it.
No, this isn't Vogue.
The assignment was 500 words on accessories, not men.
So that means that she made $2,250.
Yeah, I got it right.
Yeah, good job. Kudos
to you. I'm usually pretty good. I know about sales and percentages.
So that's pretty good money.
Yeah, that's great money. That pays that could pay her whole rent for an apartment that she thought was way too much.
Right.
Ms. Bradshaw, what you've handed us here is essentially just your newspaper column with the word style jammed in where the word sex used to be.
So, yeah, they're not looking for your agenda. No one cares about your agenda. I guess my issue with this is then why did you hire her?
Yeah, like, you know what she does. Because she makes the quote, which I actually liked, was less carry Bradshaw and more carry this bag with these shoes.
Yeah. I mean, it's all funny, and I get setting up the conflict. But I remember even the first time watching this being like, you hired Carrie Bradshaw.
Right, who writes Sex in the City.
Yeah, like, obviously you want to attract that crowd. It just seemed like a weird argument of, like, no one cares about your agenda. Then why'd you hire?
And what I also thought was interesting is, in my mind, I thought that Enid was supposed to be the Anna Wintour.
Yeah, and well, yeah.
So that's what I thought. I thought, like, okay, so they're obviously not going to use Anna Wintour.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I first watched then, it. I like Carrie's awkward reach for a pencil.
Yeah, because she goes, you're a writer. You should be writing this down.
It's a funny physical comedy moment. And then Enid leaves, and it's just Julian, Carrie, and Billie Holiday.
And that fancy CD player.
Yeah.
That was like if you were fancy.
Yeah, you had like the stand-up with like the separate speakers.
There was something saying that like the CD wasn't actually playing
at
first.
Well, the CD's not spinning. Like, you can see it in the machine. It's sort of sitting there.
They turn on Billie Holiday's Body and Soul.
Yeah, and then we get to Martinis in the Morning.
Yeah, so here's... I have a couple questions about this martini, this fold-down martini bar. That thing they're spritzing is vermouth, I'm assuming, right? It's like a vermouth spritzer.
Yeah.
I have never seen that.
I've seen them before.
I've seen them for olive oil, but I've never seen them for vermouth. And they're just going to drink warm vodka.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's fine. It's
totally fine.
I remember one time we had this bottle of, I think I've talked about this, the Absolute Papar, and we had bought it for Bloody Marys. But we bought, like, a huge bottle of it, and then we had this huge bottle left over of it. So for a long time, we were just drinking pepper water.
It just kind of, yeah, all right. Yeah, it does always strike me. He's just sort of, like, pouring vodka into a glass and then spritzing it a bit. Yeah, it's a warm martinis.
Martinis in the morning? Is this allowed? Is it vogue?
Only in absolute emergencies.
Carrie asked the pretty apt question of, like, why was I even hired?
Right.
And it's because Julian's daughter was a fan and got him to read it. And then, yeah, Cookie's drunk at Vogue. She didn't eat breakfast, and she's a size 2.
Quit bragging. I had egg salad toast, and I'm a solid 10. Also, why are we calling her Cookie?
Yeah, that's sort of the nickname that he comes up.
Just randomly decides it's going to, like, quit trying to make Cookie happen.
It's that thing where I, like... Clearly, if you're listening to this, you've seen the whole episode, so you know how it turns out. The ending of this episode made me really sad, because I guess Cookie aside, I really like Ron Rifkin, and I really liked their dynamic.
Yeah, me
too. And I thought, this is a fun addition to the show.
Yeah, I thought it was cool that, like, he was, like, sticking up for her, and he was a guy, but, like, really liked her take on it.
Yeah. And...
My question was, with Candy B and Ron, what were their positions at Vogue? Like, what... Were they both editors? Because then Ron was saying, ignore her.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're both editors.
Okay.
I don't know how that structure would work at a place like Vogue.
Right. Well, Cookie's super drunk off of...
Yeah, and she has the classic drink spill. I think we've actually seen her do this drink spill on this show.
Yeah, someone get her a sippy cup.
Yeah.
I'm drunk. I'm drunk at Vogue.
I actually do really like that line. I say that not infrequently.
Yeah, I'm going to start saying Cookie's drunk whenever Mike's a little tips.
Carrie has her little awkward stumble down the hallway.
It's outrageous.
She literally, like,
walks into that rolling rack. She bumps into someone, and then she says, oh, is that Anna Wintour?
Tell me that wasn't Anna Wintour, which I was like, oh, so we're living in a world where Anna Wintour does exist.
Right. I guess there's just two of them at that office. Yeah, and then we go to Sam and Richard in bed together.
Yeah, they're discussing his birthday.
The song that's playing is called When Six Loves Nine.
That's weird, but they're not in bed here. They're at a restaurant, right?
Yep, they're at a restaurant. Everything's a bed, though, with Samantha and Richard. But the song playing is still When Six Loves Nine.
Interesting. I don't know what that means.
69.
Yeah, I know what that is. That's just a weird title for a song.
Well, that's why I wrote it down.
So he has everything that he needs. I mean, if you think about it, it is sort of a sweet moment of him being like, I have you. That's all that I need. And then we have Alexa walk up.
She went and put in a chocolate souffle.
What if they don't want it? I'm just saying. That was very presumptuous, Alexa.
Well, I think she's probably giving it to them. They're not going to make them pay.
And this is Rachel Nichols. She's actually also done a lot of... This is her first, like, real acting gig.
Right, she'd done a ton of modeling, I'd seen. And she refers to them as being the best-looking couple here.
Yeah. And now he knows what he'd like for his birthday.
He wants an all-night F-fest with Samantha and Alexa. And I just kept thinking about, like, Amazon Alexa. Like, Alexa!
I definitely, like...
Alexa, I want an all-night F-fest.
With you...
I don't understand what that means, Richard. I am incapable of that. Or here's what I found for All Night F-Fest with Alexa.
Yeah, can you even name someone Alexa now? It just gets so confusing.
You can actually change, I think, what Alexa goes by if your name is Alexa.
Okay, I think that I've heard of that too. I don't have an Alexa, or I don't.
You can change it to like Amazon. Or something.
So hopefully your brother's name is an Amazon.
Now you just need to get a Hey Google or whatever. Yeah. And then hopefully your cat's name is in Google.
And the point, he does sort of have the moment of like, you did ask.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I want.
Yeah.
We get to ladies at brunch.
Is a three-way with a 21-year-old a bad idea for Richard's birthday?
What are you going to get him next year, a four-way?
The salts and peppers are full.
Oh, wow.
On their table. The table behind them could use some work. So maybe that server switched sections, but the salts and peppers on their table are very full.
All right, that server did their side work.
Look, he doesn't want to be monogamous, so either cheat with me or without me.
Well, happy birthday to you.
It's not like he asked me to get him a hooker.
We have the repeat of the line, these are the options. I feel like we get that every once in a while.
And she makes this comment of, Samantha, at least it's with someone we know, talking about who they're going to have the three-way with.
Right.
I mean...
She's not a stranger.
Right, not a stranger, but also like...
But I think it's the fine line of if you're going to have a threesome with someone, it's not going to be your best friend.
Unless you got too drunk.
Right. Yeah. I think that that's just your point. Of like, at least I know who this person is. And at least he wants to do it with me. He doesn't want to be monogamous. So at least we're together on this.
This way, I'm part of the fantasy.
Yeah, the fantasy being that he's attractive to someone young enough to be his daughter.
He is, Charlotte. That's the problem.
And that's actually not, you know... Men in their 40s are often attracted to women in their 20s.
Right.
This isn't like a shocking revelation.
Are you attracted to women in their 20s?
I'm almost never. Carrie's recommending a Marc Jacobs bag.
Evidently, I'm recommending it to Vogue shoppers.
Just sort of thrown out there quickly, I guess. But it did make me sort of wonder of like, is that the assignment?
Is that the... Well, she has to recommend purses.
Right.
And is that the assignment or was that like, all right, let's make this bag happen?
Right.
I don't know.
Charlotte for sure had sex with Trey on a golf course.
Yeah.
Like that definitely happened. Miranda has been shopping for all the things she'll need when she can never leave her place again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Miranda gets there late. She's very pregnant.
Yep. Is she going to Crib City? No, she needs to go to Crib World. Maybe just go to Bye Bye Baby.
Yeah. And I guess it is that thing of like, why is it so complicated? Why isn't there one crib that just like, this is the crib that you use and it's safe and it's...
It's just like any industry, you know? And I think I heard this, that especially with the baby industry, to sell more stuff, they put it out there that, you know, it's a baby. They need something sterile and brand new and the newest thing. And of course, you want the best for your child, you know, but there's a lot of things that I'm sure are okay. But that industry, because you're taking care of a tiny human, you know.
Right.
A little
very
more
vulnerable.
It's a lot more than like buying it for yourself. You know, with us, we'll be like, yeah, let's go find the cheapest bed there is. But when we're taking care of a tiny human, it's like, okay, well, what do I do? It's confusing.
We have an actual title shout out here where Miranda has a vague idea and Carrie has a Vogue idea.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't go shopping with Steve because he cries.
Yeah, but Samantha calls him old one ball. Which, I'm like, Samantha...
He's not there, it's fine.
I know, but leave him alone.
And she doesn't want a baby shower, but Charlotte kind of turns her around.
Yeah, and they're talking about the baby shower, and there's this moment where she talks about, like, and then everyone goes ooing and eyeing, and then Carrie makes this comment next to her, because she's looking at magazines while she's talking, and it sounds like she's shit-faced, but she's like, I don't care who's having a baby. Did you catch that? She's like, oh, because I had to rewind it like 3 times and then put on the subtitles. But she's like, I don't know. And I don't care who's having a baby.
I don't know. And I don't care who's having a baby.
What she's saying is I don't ooh and ah, and I don't care who's having a baby.
Right. Yeah. I think that she's just like, it's an off the cuff kind of like shade sort of moment.
Yeah. And she's like, who would I even invite?
All those bitches that made you go to theirs.
So is Lainey going to come?
Oh, that would have been a great Lainey moment.
What was Lainey's last name?
Kazan. I'm just kidding. Note from the editing bay. Lainey Berlin is the name of the character in question here. However, the mention of Lainey Kazan, who, for the record, is a marvelous actress, sent Elise on a bit of a Google spiral that went on for far too long. So I'll include some of it at the end, but let's get back to the actual episode.
I do think that this next moment with Charlotte in her apartment is sort of funny, because it's as though she's looking around to decide if she should what she should do, and then as the camera pans, we see that she's hired
right.
people.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh gosh, this will be awkward. How is she going to get rid of that mirror? Oh, someone's already painting over it.
She's already hired painters to remove the sign of having a nursery. Carrie's having dinner with Julian. He's been married for 24 years.
Mm-hmm. She plied and I plots.
And she reveals that she just broke up with a great love. They're just having a random conversation.
Right.
And Carrie gets to the point where she's decided not to finish her article.
So what are you going to do? You're just going to quit? No. I don't let my kids quit.
Well, technically, I'm not one of your kids. I'm just a girl. You get drunk sometimes.
And Julian brings out a line that I get works for the series or the episode, but I think is a weird thing to say to someone, which is, what would your father say? That's a weird thing to say to someone that you don't know that well.
Yeah, I mean, but of course they have to say it so that we can talk about Carrie's father.
And we get to a rare family insight.
Because I think, well, he says, like, it's in relation to him saying you can't quit. So maybe Julian, in his experience with his father, it's kind of like a father's thing to be like, we don't quit things, we follow through.
I just think it's maybe it's just also like an old man thing to say. Like, I would never, ever say to a human being, what would your father say? Like, that's just a weird thing to say to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, my father wouldn't have a whole lot to say about quitting. He quit my mother and me when I was little.
Sorry.
Oh, thanks. No, I mean a long time ago. I was 5.
Why'd he leave?
No idea.
Which is the first time we're really talking about Carrie's family.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I remember the first time this episode being like, oh, wow, we're really learning some stuff. Julian kind of plays analyst.
No, it's interesting. And your father leaves without any answers, and you spend your life asking questions about men. Well, it's 20 years of analysis. Forgive me?
We'll get to it later, I guess, with the conversation with Miranda. But it's just, I think it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's
Julian's
so dumb.
Julian's just trying to, like, he's trying to, you know, get into her.
Right.
Literally, I think.
Well,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, right now he's trying to, like, you know.
He's trying to convince her to stay
right.
in the moment. And Carrie gets to thinking, and we get that picture, which apparently is
a picture of
Sarah Jessica Parker when she was 3.
And what does that book say? Like, what book did she pull it out of?
Is it Franny and Zoe?
I think so.
I believe that it is.
Okay, I don't know that book.
It's a Salinger.
Oh, it's interesting you say that, because I've thought, oh, is that Catcher in the Rye? Because I had a copy of Catcher in the Rye that looked like that.
I had that copy as well. Yeah, if you remember when Carrie was dating this short story writer, his sister's names were Franny and Zoe.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
she couldn't help
question,
but wonder.
How much does a father figure?
And I don't mean to say that it doesn't. Like, I don't mean to say that, like, that has your upbringing doesn't affect you at
right.
all. I think you can go a little bit too deep with it.
Yeah, I think for some people it does. I think, like, for me, you know, I had a great relationship with my dad, and there's a lot of things that I'm sure are similar to someone who didn't have a good relationship with their dad.
Yeah, I had a great relationship with my dad, and my mom and dad never got divorced, and I'm not in a relationship, so I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that there are things that end up making a difference, and there are things that kind of don't.
Right.
So I remember the whole adage of, like, you marry your mother or whatever, like, you end
right.
up becoming, so there The dynamic with my parents, who loved each other very much, but, you know, there was always tension, and especially when you have 5 kids that you're raising, is that my dad was a very, very smart man, but sometimes just made weird decisions. And my mom would get very impatient when that would happen. And I always think of this day that I was walking with my then boyfriend to, like, a very nice, fancy dinner that we were going to. I don't know what the occasion was. And along the way, he stopped because he wanted to get a dollar cheeseburger from McDonald's. And I got so, like, irrationally angry with him over it. And then a moment later thought, oh my lord, I am my mom and I'm dating my dad. We'll see if I leave any of that in, because it's kind of
fine.
A weird story. And, but so I think there are things that do reverberate, but I don't think that anything means everything.
Right, but you weren't, like, literally dating your dad.
I was not.
So then we cut to Miranda at work.
Yeah, Miranda's at work. Charlotte calls with an emergency, and it's not an emergency.
No, but Charlotte is just wondering, what about the Manhattan Who's It or
yeah.
the Peekaball?
She's too much.
Yeah.
Like, this moment actually did irritate me pretty greatly with Charlotte.
Peekaball, Miranda! Jesus, Charlotte, I have to get back.
Just one more quick thing. I
know you said no storks, but I saw the most gorgeous centerpiece in the shape of a stork.
I'm at work.
Well, we have to order it by noon. Now, its feathers are white Fiji mum.
What did I say?
No storks. But these people are giving you expensive gifts, and they're going to want to see a little baby.
Or the marzipan baby carriage with the peanut butter white chocolate baby. You can eat the baby.
I guess I would go with that. I would eat the baby. That's weird.
And then Miranda's just like, I gotta go.
Yeah, it's stupid. And I hope that she hung up and then told her assistant, never put Charlotte through to me again.
Right.
Samantha goes to the restaurant.
And it's like battle of the plunging lady suit necklines.
in the comedy version of this, every time it went back, the neckline would be lower and lower.
Yeah, I mean, Alexa wins. Hers is the lowest.
And this could be awkward.
It's Richard's birthday this weekend, and I'm trying to put together a little celebration for him.
Certainly. Would you like to reserve one of our banquet rooms?
Oh, that won't be necessary. It's a very small party, a very small private party of three. Just Richard, myself, and a third.
Yeah, I wrote, what an awkward conversation.
But it isn't.
No.
In the end, Alexa's like, I'm wide open.
Yeah, and I'm like, ew. They had to have had some hints. Like, Alexa must have hinted to Richard at some point, like, hey, if you're ever up for this.
I think that they've been flirty, I think. Yeah. And I think that Samantha phrases it in a way where, like, if there was any hint of Alexa being like, I don't understand what you're talking about, or like,
right,
what? She could be like, oh, no, that's not what I meant. I meant, you know, like, I think that she sort of phrases it to get out of it, but it doesn't matter because Alexa's totally in.
Yeah.
And Charlotte goes to inspect Miranda's apartment.
And she's in a weird corset top. It's like a Carrie-ish outfit.
It reminds me of, like, a very specific kind of flatware. And I don't know why.
Like Fiesta wear?
There's something about, like, the color combo that, yeah, is a very, it's an interesting outfit. I think she looks great.
Yeah, is it Charlotte, Fiesta wear? Is that what you're thinking?
That could be. Okay. I don't know why. I can't, like, put my finger on why it is that I even think right. that.
And then when he's big enough, you can put the crib here. Is that what you were thinking?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that yet.
Well, you need to start thinking about these things because there are a million questions to answer before the baby ever gets here. Do you have a birthing plan? Do you know what kind of a mother you want to be?
Yes, I plan to be a good mother.
But a marsupial mom or a stroller mom? Will you be breastfeeding or bottle feeding?
What I originally thought here was Charlotte is actually very patient with Miranda.
Yeah, it's hard because Miranda has clearly not thought about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation kind of ebbs and flows of, like, her trying to be patient, but then also calling her apartment a death trap.
You need to back off. I'm just trying to help. This is your idea of helping? Pointing out all the things I do badly?
I'm not pointing out.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Which is a bit much.
Look, I just want to enjoy the fried chicken and be done with it.
I had to rethink the fried chicken, because you were the only one who wanted all that breading. So instead we're having mesculine greens and a lovely puttanesca with a Fiji mum centerpiece.
A Fiji mum stork centerpiece?
One stork. I think you can deal with
two
one
storks.
Stork.
I saw the invitation. There's a stork on the invitation.
That's not a stork. That is a duck. And that duck is smoking.
And I like, that duck is fucked. This whole shower is fucked.
Yeah, Charlotte makes some reasonable points, but the conversation just devolves.
Yeah, and I think that I think they're both hiding things. You know, Miranda here is hiding the fact that she's scared as hell to have a baby.
Right.
Charlotte is hiding.
And is unprepared.
Completely unprepared. Charlotte is hiding the fact that this is killing her, and she's so sad that it's not her.
Right.
So they're both doing their trademark defense mechanisms, and they're going against each other.
And it just sort of ends with Miranda basically threatening to not show up to her own shower.
Right.
And I love Charlotte's reaction.
Miranda, you better show up. I am not getting stuck with a bunch of lawyers who, if they're anything like you, won't even appreciate a beautiful puttanesca.
And even when Charlotte leaves, she's not angry. You can tell she's not angry.
Yeah, it's Charlotte's kind of like, I'm so mad at you, but I'm still adorable.
And so then Miranda and Carrie are talking on the stoop. Yeah, and I like that she goes, thanks for coming down.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't think you couldn't have made it up the steps. Carrie's wearing like a weird silk princess blouse over a thermal long sleeve t-shirt.
Okay.
It's just an observation. And Miranda's in a caftan.
I'm gonna be a terrible mother.
Miranda.
I am. I have no maternal instincts, no patience, the way I yelled at Charlotte. She was just trying to point out what needed to be child-proofed.
Oh my God.
What?
I'm what needs to be child-proofed.
The comment is made that the baby will not or has no father figure. And I'm like, was that a comment saying that Steve's just like incapable or a comment saying that Steve's not present, because that's not fair. Steve is trying to be there.
Yeah, he is. And I think that is what it is, though. It's just like, what kind of father is Steve going to be?
But give him a chance. I mean, you're not like the you know, best example of a mother right now, you know?
And I think that that's sort of where the conversation goes, where Carrie is like, you know, you are the father figure. Like, maybe Steve would be more of the mother figure. Who knows? I think that the point is, though, like, things don't have to break down. It's sort of what I was saying earlier, that it's kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people don't have a father, and some people don't have a mother, and some people have two fathers, and some people have two mothers, and, like, it works out. Like, what a child needs is love.
Right.
And I really like the whole, you know, where Miranda dropped her niece on her head.
Get off my stoop.
Yeah, I mean, I would be absolutely terrified to have a child.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. Which is why I'm not going to do it. One of the many reasons.
Are you sure, Mike? We could make beautiful babies.
No, thanks. And then a couple walks by.
Second date, dinner, and a movie.
Yeah, I hate them.
And Carrie just sort of brings up her lack of a father figure. And this is kind of, once again, what I've been talking about. That Miranda says that her father showed up every day. And
at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I have no clue about men either. So it's a crapshoot.
Miranda arrives at her own baby shower.
Bring on the ladies in hats and let's get this over with. Where'd you put all the storks?
Well, you said you didn't want any storks.
Yeah, I know, but...
What did you do?
Well, it's your shower.
And Charlotte did a very good job.
Yes, that giant bowl of mesclun greens is back.
Yep.
So is fried chicken.
Which Miranda's very happy about. Samantha and Carrie come in with that diaper cake.
4 tiers of diapers.
Which is a thing. People do those, absolutely. Yeah.
I baked it myself.
We ordered it online.
What am I supposed to do with it?
How the hell should we know? Didn't you want one?
No.
Well, we're not taking it back. We've already been seen carrying it down Park Avenue.
It is quite a gathering.
Yeah.
She found people to come.
Yeah, all the lawyers.
Yeah, and all those chairs with, like, tulle wrapped around them.
Mm-hmm.
We get to Samantha talking about she may be 21, but I have 21 years of experience.
I can fuck her under the table, which in a threesome may happen.
That, yeah.
Oh, hi, I have tricks she hasn't even seen.
And those tricks aren't for kids.
Also, like, she's only renting, I own.
Although I don't really own.
So it's more of an illegal sublet type of thing?
That metaphor doesn't actually end up working.
Because Richard tried to help you own, but you were like, no thanks, I want to keep renting. So then we go to opening presents.
Yeah, Miranda's coworker got her a breast pump.
Mm-hmm.
And then leaves her child with her.
Which I knew was going to happen. And Miranda just kind of throws that baby, Charles, next to her. Like, Carrie's like, oh!
Miranda!
Yeah?
And then they're just passing around clothes, like passing and passing and passing around all these little outfits. And then we see the Tiffany box.
Yeah, Miranda gets the rattle.
It's exactly like the rattle Trey gave me when we first...
And Charlotte, I don't want to be too hard on Charlotte, but part of me's like, I don't know. You kind of just made this about you.
Yeah, but she's been pretty good. Let her have a moment. And this allows her to have that moment.
I know this is hard. And I really appreciate you trying to be okay with me having this baby. Because I need you. I mean, let's face it, you're the only person in my life who knows how important it is to have a cake. Made entirely out of diapers.
And just like that, Miranda realized she might be a good mother figure as well.
And then Carrie shows up with a wet baby, and Samantha needs to go.
Ladies, can we cut the cake and get out of here? I have a three-way to go to.
Yeah.
We arrive at the three-way. There's the whole no kissing on the mouth thing.
Richard's lips are off limits to anyone but me. What if he kisses me?
Yeah, and Alexa is in an extra large belt. She has like a pink tank top and an extra large belt.
And Richard has champagne.
And
pretty quickly,
Samantha just throws her off the bed. That looked like it hurt.
Yeah, I know that, like, from that angle, they did raise the bed several feet. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't have done anything that was going to hurt her too much.
Right.
Easy, Sam. There's more than enough of me to go around.
Tell her, Daddy.
Which is such, I cannot deal with that. The daddy stuff, just like, I don't know, just the term. And, like, it's even in music. And it's just, like, I'm always like, no, whatever, you do your thing, but it does kind of irk me a little bit.
What if like you started dating a 21-year-old and they said that to you?
First of all, I would not do that. Second of all, that is one of the reasons why I would not do that.
The one thing Richard didn't want for his birthday was to feel older.
Get rid of her.
Yikes. And then we're done. Yeah, this is over.
Yeah, but I'm actually really happy for Sam. I'm like in this moment where, you know, her and Richard have this moment together and...
Yeah, he said, this is great, just you and me.
Yeah.
Let's try this.
Yeah.
By giving Richard what he thought he wanted, Samantha finally got what she needed. monogamy.
And there we go. They got monogamy.
Yeah, it makes me happy. I don't know. I hope it lasts.
And then the following night, Carrie has finished her first Vogue column.
And this is when I wrote, why are we calling Carrie Cookie? But whatever. So then, yeah, he introduces her to...
the Vogue accessories closet.
It's too good. I'm sorry, but it's... oh, it's too good.
Yeah, and she is just freaking out.
Freaking out over those Manolo Blahnik Mary Janes.
Real patent leather. She doesn't care if they fit. She's going to put them on. I mean, they look like they fit. So they doing? Is he showing it to her? Or is he saying, like, you can take what you want?
I think just showing it.
Okay.
Like, though he is... well, yeah, I don't know. Because
he makes a comment like, we're not supposed to be in
here. I don't get why they're not supposed to be in there. Like, he's not allowed to, he's not, like, high enough up that he can't be like, yeah, I'm checking out the accessories closet.
Right, because I know people that have worked for magazines and stuff before, and they say, like, yeah, we have these, like, beauty closets and things where they're always, like, just take stuff. Like, you know, they get sent stuff all the time. So then she turns the corner, and he's in a pair of Versace underwear.
Yeah, he says, come check out this Versace, and then it's underwear. But so then in this moment, I am like, well, then I actually hope you are taking those.
Yeah, because you, and also he has, like, those garters on his socks.
It's just weird.
And Carrie handles it really well.
She does. It's an awful,
she's like, you're
awkward.
Married.
Yeah, I'm like,
someone who really cares about you, let me just say, I think you have some serious issues with men.
I do right now, yes.
An older man can help you work through some of those father issues, Cookie.
Sort of sad moment where I'm like, oh no, I liked you.
Yeah, I thought you were trying to help her, but you're not. And she says, show some respect.
This is Vogue.
You know?
And it's just gross.
Yeah.
It's a bad scene.
But... yeah, and he looks a lot older in this moment than he has. I mean, maybe that was the point, but...
maybe it's the sock garters.
Yeah.
And then from then on, she works exclusively with Enid.
Yeah.
So I guess that at least gets us some Candy Bergen.
Yeah, and she makes a comment about, like...
this magazine doesn't care what Carrie Bradshaw has to say about shoes. What does Carrie Bradshaw know about shoes?
Enid, with all due respect, men I may not know, but shoes, shoes I know.
Yeah. And Enid likes that.
I like Enid's reaction. But then, like, we're walking.
Yeah.
And we sort of end with, it's tempting to wish for things to be perfect. And I think that is true. It's very easy in life to sort of get paralyzed by imperfection rather than being like, this is what I have. Like, nobody's perfect. Nobody has it all. Nobody was raised by the perfect parents.
No.
Where nothing went wrong, where you're completely set up for, like, having this wonderful, perfect life. You deal with what you have. As she says, you accessorize.
Yeah, or you chop off all your hair.
Fair point. And there we go. One more episode.
And then we're done forever?
Then we're done forever.
I couldn't help but wonder, why are we calling Carrie Cookie? That's really it.
I couldn't help but wonder if Richard and Samantha were ever able to go back to that restaurant again.
Oh, no. And also, Magda should have been at that baby shower.
That's a social thing.
Sorry, I made fun of
you. I know, you always do it.
I'm sorry,
you're so
Mike.
Rude.
I'm sorry, Mike. I apologize. That shirt looks really nice on you. It's a good color.
Elise's a bully.
I'm not a bully.
And there we go. So one more episode. I haven't really looked at the calendar, so I can't officially announce. But we'll be back next week with the final episode of this season and probably a recap and then probably a week off. But I'll have more information next week when I've looked at a calendar to see how it all lines up. But yeah, here we go. Season 4 is almost done.
Bye.
And then we will be back. With 5 and 6 and 7. There, I said it. There's a 7th season.
And 8.
No, there's not an 8.
I'm going to make it.
Okay.
That was like a schoolgirl laugh.
I like it.
Bye.
Bye. You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for I Heart New York. I'm actually sweating now.
I know. I'm, like, hot. I don't know why.
Like, actual drip.
That's a weird spot, though. You just pointed to his elbow. It's that weird, like, rain, humid, maybe thing. Because it's 47 degrees, so it's not, like...
it should be cool.
Like, is the world exploding? Anywho. How much was she getting paid an hour? Or a word?
She was getting paid $4.50 a word.
So $4.50 a word means that, or $4 a word.
Would be $2,000.
And $4.50 a word would be $2,250.
This is not difficult math.
No, but we also have theater degrees. Yeah. And I think I did pretty good. I also, my mom told me I didn't have to take math after my sophomore year. Lainey Kazan, American actress. She was nominated for Saint Elsewhere, Tony Award for My Favorite Year. Yikes. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. She was nominated for a Golden Globe for her role in My Favorite Year. She was in My Big Fat Greek Wedding and My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
I know who Lainey Kazan is.
Well, yeah, you're the one that talked about her. She understudied Barbara Streisand as Fanny and Funny Girl. She also posed nude in the 1970 issue of Playboy. Wow, Lainey Kazan has a lot of good stuff. She's been on Will and Grace, as Grace's Aunt Honey. Wow, she's a member of the Actors Studio. She's also appeared in regional productions of A Little Night Music, Man of La Mancha, Gypsy, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Hello Dolly, and Fiddler on the Roof. She was in Fairy Tale Theater with Shelley Duvall.
I'm not going to use any of this.
Why not?
Because, first of all, you're talking into your phone. I'll use a little bit of it.
I feel like this boyfriend needs to be a guest on the show.
He's not in the country. I had him removed. Just kidding. The monster.
What was that?
Just the radiator makes noise.
It farted. It's butt coughed.
I like butt burp better.
Well, that wasn't a butt burp. That was a cough.